Glory to God. 2021 is a great year. But may I quickly say that the greatness of a year is beyond the happenings in the physical realm. The greatness of the year is more into what's happening in the realm of the spirit. And a lot goes on in the realm of the spirit. So in case you're wondering, when is the preaching going to start? It has started. the greatness, because you have to understand this. There are two dimensions. There's a physical dimension, and then there is a spiritual dimension. And many times you have to carefully not divert too much of your prayers in the physical, always wanting something to change in the physical, and then by that, understand the spiritual. It doesn't always work that way. You know, I remember many years ago while I was on campus, and then the school says, well, going on strike. Some of us were very happy the school was going on strike, or lecturers are going on strike. Some of us were happy. The only reason why we were happy, strike isn't good, all right? But some reason why some of us were happy was that was like our break. We've been working. I mean, I was class rep, I was fellowship secretary, and my pastor would just, you know, not allow you rest. So, but the bad part of the good part of the strike was when the strike finally came, he would fix an event or a prayer meeting or something inside that time, so I still didn't use the strike well. So I'll hope for another break. And then something happens. But anyway, this is the part. Then, you know, believers would get together praying against the strike, and then the strike is elongated. So I told a friend one day, I said, maybe they shouldn't be praying against the strike. They should understand why the strike is there. I'm still going to where I'm going. The disciples asked Jesus, would you at this time restore the kingdom? Because somewhere, it's as if their minds were too attached to, we are not enjoying this Roman rule over us, so we need you to help us get the Roman government off our backs. We need our emancipation as Jews. We need that freedom, want to be free. But the Romans, being rulers over Israel, worked in line with the agenda of God. You wonder how? Bible, scripture had already said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. The only way Jesus could have been born in Bethlehem was that Caesar had to decree that there was going to be a census. So it was the usage of the Roman rule that helped to fulfill the scripture. So it's not the removal of the Roman rule, it's the using of the Roman rule. Alright? The crucifixion of Jesus. Jews don't crucify people. It's the Romans that crucify. And Jesus had to hang on the tree. And if the Jews will kill him, they'll stone him. And stoning will not fulfill the prophecy. He had to be hung. And it would take Rome to kill him, to crucify him, to fulfill scripture. So removing Rome is removing the fulfillment of the scripture. So you have to understand which dimension are you operating more consciously in. There was famine in the land and God's people will still prosper. So it's not always about, okay, this must change in the society. God can use that thing in the society to still fulfill his own agenda. He is God. So he's not bound by a lot of things we're affected by. He's not. He's not. He is God. Hope you got what I said that I really haven't said. All right. You know, because you always want to be quick to want to pray about things. And you have to pray. But I learned from Kenneth Copeland very many years ago, pray to know what to pray about. All right. You have to understand, am I to pray about this? I remember Kenneth Hagin talked about when they had this Voice of Healing meetings. And, you know, one of the Voice of Healing evangelists was sick at the point of death, and they called, you know, them up to come pray for him that he, you know, that his systems would be, you know, aligned and everything. And Kenneth Hagin said he was walking towards a platform, and the Lord said to him, get back to your seat, he's going to die. All right, get back to your seat, he's going to die. He said he, you know, stopped dead in his tracks and then turned back and went to his seat. Some of us would still sentimentally climb the stage, sentimentally hold the microphone, and sentimentally pray a prayer the Lord never sent you to pray. Spirit and sentiment don't mix. Spirit and sentiment, they don't mix. So you've got to understand which dimension am I more conscious of? Which terrain am I functioning more in? You know? Romans 8 says the Spirit takes all together with us against. So, Kenegan said it was, you know, there was this Rema, I think it was a graduate or student, you know, Grandma Chap, you know, was he lost at the point of death. And he said they all were praying. They raised up a prayer group, right, to pray, you know, about it. He said the more they were praying, you know, Bible says the Spirit will take hold together with you. He said he wasn't feeling the Spirit taking hold. I said, Holy Ghost, you're not taking hold with me on this matter. I said, the Holy Ghost said to him, yeah, because he's going to die. Yeah, you're going to die. So that's why that means you can be having prayer meeting. And God is saying, I'm not there. Because that's not my direction. And you're praying, and then you prophesy. Oh, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, in 3 days, you'll be fine. That fine might be going to heaven. That's the finest place everybody can be fine. All right? Everybody is fine when you get there. All right? You know? He said, but he couldn't explain that to, you know, the Rema folks, you know, I think there were students that he was praying with. He said, but the Lord also told him that because I've been telling him a lot of things and he's not listening. And I always tell believers, when things happen to a fellow believer, there's always a story behind the story. But most times you don't know. You don't see it. Oh, he was riding a bike and something happened. He was in a car. This happened. Da-da-da-da-da. Things don't just happen to us. Things. We're not mere mortals. We're not mere mortals. Things don't just happen. So we've got to be more conscious of the spiritual interactions going on. You know, someone could be spending a lot of time declaring God's word. Now, you judge the person by what you heard, but Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So the person could be going, oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm protected. You do not know how much fear he's entertaining. So he hears words or her words and say, oh, she's a great woman of faith. Oh, he's a great man of faith. But the interactions in the heart determine the man. A good man, Bible says, out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We just speak with the mouth and think everything's all right. No, it's the heart, because faith must be in two places, your heart and your mouth. So it's not enough to say, but I said it. It's not enough to say, but he said it. It's not enough to say, but she said it. No, what are the interactions going on in the heart? You know, so we all could stand here and say, oh, 2020 will be great. What makes it great? The interactions in your heart. And how much you hold on to the things that the Lord has said to you. Oh, blessed is he or she that believeth. Because there will be a performance. So there has to be a gripping, a grabbing of the thing the Lord has said. There's got to be. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, we're walking in victory. Ceaseless victory. Continuous victory. Constant victory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, thanks be unto God who gives us victory all the time. Hallelujah. Hey, we got victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, so in considering these thoughts, because things don't just happen. Things aren't expected to happen to us just anyhow. The believer is not an anyhow person. The believer is not an anyhow person. You know, 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1 says, behold the manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He says, the world does not know us because the world did not know him. All right? But it's not just the world who doesn't know us. We don't. The believer is not disadvantaged. Oh, and we have to shout this thing on the housetops. The believer is not disadvantaged. We have to shout this thing on the housetop. The believer is not disadvantaged. The believer can never be disadvantaged. You almost say, why? All right, because I'm sure if we all try to make a list of challenges we might have faced this year alone, they will fill up more than a bucket. But those challenges don't define us. All right? We might be pressed, but we're not crushed. Persecuted, but not abandoned. All right? So because we know that we are not disadvantaged. We know that we do not define ourselves by the physical. We do not define ourselves by the mundane. We cannot be disadvantaged. Oh, we can't.
Someone says, oh, I'm having a tough time. You know, sometimes some of the answers in the Bible, they seem so emotionless, so insensitive. I'm having a tough time. James says, count it all joy. Abba. I say, I'm having a tough time. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. In this we do not faint, though the outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is renewed. Are you hearing me? Yes, now. I say your light affliction is just for a moment. Oh, that it works for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But you keep your eyes on the things you do not see. Glory to God. So it so looks so, are you not feeling me? Don't you understand what I'm going through? But it's God's word. It's God's word. You know, David said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his seed bear for bread. But he sent his guys to the house of Nabal, right? That's the guy, Abigail's husband. So we're going to collect food now. Then they went to the temple to eat shewbread. He said, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken. Sometimes, as far as concerned, his own narrative is different. Because locating Nabal is part of the provision. Entering the temple to eat shewbread is part of the provision. Because if he did something wrong, Jesus would not have even referenced the eating of the shewbread. So what's your own narrative? What's your narrative? You could sit down and tell us how bad it's been, how tough it's been. Oh, but Bible says the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. So it depends on what you're seeing. Is it something to crush you or something for you to just, you know, dumbbells in the Holy Ghost gym? Just check your muscle. You know, check your weight. Knock that thing down. And then grow stronger. God did not send the trials, but hey, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. You know, good cheer is you know, chair, C-H, you know, W-E-R. It's not just smiling. You're happily excited, if I could add those two together. You're excited. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The Amplified Bible adds there that I have deprived it of power to harm you. I have deprived it of power to harm you. I have deprived it of power. Isaiah 54. You know, we love to quote it. It said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It means they will form the weapon. I don't know if you got that. It didn't say they won't form the weapon. It said the weapon that is formed, it won't prosper. So we start shaking when the weapon is forming. Oh God, you said the weapon. He said they will form it now. You know, sometimes we act like the reverse of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those guys were diehard. All right? They were hardcore. You know, I could imagine when the king said, hey boys, we're going to hit this thing up 7 times, man. Are you changing your mind? You know, and the king said, I'm counting one. Boys. And then he tells them, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. You know, heat it up 7 times. And then they start blasting in tongues. They say, why? Say, oh God, you are bigger than fire. You will make sure we do not enter that fire. So while their faith will be they won't enter fire, God is waiting for them in the fire. I say, this is the place. We're going to have lunch in this place. So, you know, but God is getting hotter. That's where the action is. That's where the action is. You know? That's why giving up should not be part of us. You understand? Yeah, because you might have missed where the thing was going to work. Yeah, but God, they are throwing us in the fire. God said, wait, land inside fire. Land. And suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw in 3? But I see 4. And the 4th one looks like Kayawa. Looks like somebody. Looks like the son of man. Something's happening here. But that means they wouldn't have seen that image before the fire. The image was waiting in the fire. And then they came out smoke free. Yeah, smelling like nothing happened. Like agege bread. There's good. Fire is good, isn't it? We cook with fire now. Uh-huh, so it's just the bad side of fire that is bad. So, glory to God. So the believer is not disadvantaged. Oh, we're not. Oh, it's good to know we're not.
It's good to know we're not. John 16, something quite familiar. Well, 14, and then we'll go to 16. John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'll say things that are quite familiar to every one of us. But just roll. Many times the revelations are hiding in the familiar. John 16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I said 16 again. Okay, 14. It is John 14 and the 16th verse. I'm using the New King James. All right. Jesus is saying here, and I will pray. To understand it, I will pray the Father, he will give you another New King James. Like I said, I'm using helper, but the other word we're all familiar with is the word comforter. He now says he will abide with you forever. Now, this is it. If I tell you this person is going to follow you, this person is going to be with you, this person is going to assist you, it could be a thing of joy, but then it could be a thing that is just the weight of the statement is measured in the capacity of the person I sent to you. So Jesus says, I will give you another helper. Of course, we understand it, the Paracletos. So I will give you him. Question is, who is he? Then I understand who I have. Alright? So if you're maybe like a public figure, you're going for a function, and you're told to bring a bodyguard, and I send you my 11-year-old son. I said, that's your... Sending you someone, question is, who is the someone? Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, such that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. That means the person sent is the same one in the ministry of Jesus. Oh, I love to sometimes remind myself that this same Holy Ghost you have was there from the beginning to the end of the ministry of Jesus. When Mary was, you know, told by the angel that she would give birth, I said, how would it happen? He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So it was there at the birth. He gave birth to Jesus. All right? John baptized Jesus. You know what happened? Heavens opened, the Spirit of God descended in form of a dove. So he was the one anointing Jesus into ministry. Bible said he led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then Jesus came back from the wilderness in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Then he opened the Bible in Luke 4 and said, the Spirit of God is upon me. So Jesus had a spirit ministry. All right? Hebrews even said that he offered up himself through the eternal spirit. And he never could have been resurrected. Bible says, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus. So all through life, everything about him was the Holy Ghost. No wonder I said to them, stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Meaning the same person who walked with me is about to walk with you. If he lived a life of victory, why then do I think I would experience any level of defeat? Why do I think so? If he lived a life of victory, why do I think, I'm going to see some defeat? Things. No, I'm not alone. So the church has to move from asking God to do things to finding out what God has already done. You got to get this now. You will. We've got to move from asking him to do something to, we need to know what he has done. There's a divider. All right? The death of Jesus Christ. And yes, it's affected the Gregorian calendar. So we say BC, AD. Some say, what does that mean? I mean, BC before Christ, AD after death. So we use it to, you know, map time. It's more than that. The things said before he died were prophecies. The things after were of Jesus Christ. It altered everything. So you don't say, oh God, you said you will heal me. He didn't say so. He said it to the Jews. Are you a Jew? No, you're not. He didn't say it to you. Isaiah showed up in the spirit of prophecy and began to describe, Isaiah 53 is so beautiful. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. As Isaiah spoke by that. So Isaiah moved from, I will heal you, to you are healed. But that was still BC.
Peter spoke in BC. I mean AD. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sins will live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were. Not I. Please understand this. Before he hung on a cross, it is I will do it. Isaiah saw it happen, so he spoke in present tense. Then 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah wasn't speaking by faith. Peter was not speaking by faith. Peter knew he died, no? Peter knew he resurrected. So he's not, if I confess it 15 times. Peter was. Nothing happened, we are healed. Please understand that. Please understand that. So it changes your vocabulary. Christ has redeemed us, Galatians 3 says, from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses anyone that hangs on a tree. If that verse is fulfilled, then the next verse is fulfilled. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. But if the first one is fulfilled, then the next one is fulfilled. But I love to say, and I think I could say, Christ did not redeem you from the curse of the law. Because you were never related to the curse of the law and the law and the curse of the law. John said, what's that? Let me explain. There was a curse in Genesis. Then there was the blessing of Abraham. Then there was the law given by Moses that had a curse attached if you disobey. That law was given only to the nation of Israel. So the curse was only to the nation of Israel. So we don't have a business saying Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law because I was never given the law. You get that now? But Christ redeemed me from the curse. Which one? Genesis. That's the mother of all curses. That's a curse that was ravaging all the nations. So Galatians 5 from verse 12 says that through one man, sin entered into the world and death entered by sin. So death spread upon all men for all have sinned. So that was a curse that Jesus came to reverse. That is superior to the curse of the law. Galatians 3 explains that the curse of the law is connected obviously to the law. And what God gave to Abraham, he gave it by promise. So the law that came 430 years later cannot annul. God gave it to Abraham free. The church of Jesus is not, we are not children of Moses. We are children of Abraham. You have to understand that statement. We are not children of Moses. So our relationship with God is not Moses based. Oh, if I serve the Lord my God, he will bless my bread, so let me go and serve. No, you. They had to serve to get blessed. You were born into a blessing. You get that now? They serve. Buddy, and say, no. Cancel. You can't cancel it. Moses was just an addendum. So this is God talking to Abraham. And God's conversation with Abraham, they were discussing the gospel. Because Galatians 3 says, God, sharing the gospel with Abraham, said to him that in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So God was discussing gospel with Abraham. Gospel. Moses now comes and says, no. He really didn't do that, but I mean, that's how the law sounds. No. All this blessing is giving them too much freedom. They need to have an appreciation of all the things that they are getting. So if they are not serious about it, let us give them a law. Because Galatians 3 again says the law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. But now that the Christ has come, then there's no need for the law. When you say, people say, so are we lawless? No, for the law of the Spirit of life. We still have laws. Love is our law. We are not lawless. And whoever walks in the law fulfills the whole law. For the love law is a bigger law. I'm trying not to enter too many things. So that we don't enter too many things. But are you with me so far? Yeah. Because listen, we're not alone. So we have to. Oh dear Lord. The devil knows Jesus defeated him. And the devil knows that the Jesus that defeated him is living inside you.
Jesus knows he's living inside you by his spirit. God knows. Demons know. Guess who is not sure? The church. So he says, my people perish because they don't do prayer and fasting. No, they lack knowledge. There's too much prayer and fasting. We need to increase knowledge. I didn't say don't pray. I do pray. I didn't say don't fast. I do fast. But I'm saying there's too much of it. There's absence of knowledge. You need to increase knowledge. And the truth is, most things we pray and fast about are things God has already done for us in Christ Jesus. Such that if we know these things, it will cut the prayer down by 90%. So some, 99%. Some will become prayerless. Because everything they pray about is just natural stuff. Oh God, do. When would you do? God, do. Do, 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 do. If God is in your... Now I'm going to say this, you know, carefully so I'm not misunderstood. Because even people I love, you know, say it, so I'm not referring to that. I'm just trying to explain something. So they say, oh God, if you do it for my neighbor, then I know you are going to do it for me. So God, I'm next in line. There's no queue in the realm of the spirit. Do you understand? There's no queue. It's not after you, it's me. The law of faith is that God is no respecter of persons. Anybody that believes is a receiver. Alright? If you're outside and the people inside are still jonesing, the person outside gets the thing. Alright, that's why the crowd thronged Jesus, but there was a woman that came in the press behind, she touched, she went home. In Luke chapter 5, Bible said the house was packed up with people. One man came late to church. They had likely given offering and shared testimony, maybe it came after choir ministration, then Jesus was already preaching now. Alright, the guy came late to church and he got blessed. He didn't just come late, he was disturbing the service, they were opening the tiles. Who dares disturb when Jesus is ministering? A man that has faith. And Jesus did not see the disturbance. That we said he saw their faith. So there's no cue. Oh no, not when he gets it. She got it. I'm next. People have been next like that and they've still not gotten anything till now. Because there's never a cue. God is not sentimental. There's no tally number. Number 58, yeah, present. There's nothing like that in the realm of the spirit. Alright? I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. When? Now! Glory to God! It's mine now! We are not disadvantaged. We should stop thinking like that. So, Christ redeemed us. Something now, alright, so, I just went NIM into the thing, right? So. Alright, so, they're wearing! And then you find the believer trying to wear. Listen, if you have it to wear, wear. But you're wearing something more than that. Oh, come on. Bible says he that has been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3. He that has been baptized into Christ has put on. When they say, what are you wearing? I wear the blessing. Oh, dear Lord. What are you? I wear the blessing. I wear the blessing. So I say, explain. Listen, Jake, let's start from Abraham. So Abraham was blessed, yeah? And then you saw the blessing protecting him. I love when Abimelech took his wife. Oh, sound effect in that place. And the man went to sleep. He was, I ain't fine woman. He said, I've had a busy day. I cannot touch her today. I've had a busy day. Where tomorrow? Action will start. I paid dowry to that your brother. Maybe he was snoring. Then God taps him up. Bro, yeah, you're dead. He said, why? You took a man's wife. Which man? That guy. He said, that's his sister. I don't care. You're dead. If you don't return his wife to him, then you die. You understand? Abraham wasn't fasting. Abraham wasn't praying. Abraham was not interceding. Bible did not record for us what Abraham was doing. God was busy fighting for a man that willingly, open-eyedly, free-handedly carried his wife and gave it to another man and collected dowry.
God should have started by saying, for your punishment. She will spend 5 months carried Bele. Then you and I will talk about it. God said, I don't care. That guy is my guy. You can't touch any other woman. God must have talked with an attitude. You understand what an attitude is? I can see all these black American babes. Or these Mushi sisters. Forgive me, everybody from Mushi. I'm just trying to give an illustration. All right. When they try to show you, say, you touch somebody. You don't know the person where you go to us. You don't die. Oh boy, you don't pay me. Because Genesis 20, Abimelech fearfully returns Abraham's wife. Abraham prays for him because God said he must pray for you. He's a prophet. Read Genesis 20. Then Bible said God opened the wombs of all the women in his house. What? Meaning you didn't just tell him he was dead. You shut every womb in the house. Because he took someone's wife legally. No, you can't take anybody's wife. You don't take some other person's wife. It's not the taking of the wife. It's the who that you took his wife. So when you see that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile, what was the blessing? Protection was part of it. Supernatural defense was inside it. And then we are the ones running helter-skelter. Abraham went to bed. And that was the second time. It happened in Genesis 12. In Egypt, the man didn't learn his lesson. Maybe he learned his lesson. For him to do it again, maybe he did learn a lesson. He knew if I flipped this thing, someone would show up. Try me. Try me. Oh yeah, come and touch her. Babe, waka, enter the house. Dowry, give me. See you tomorrow, honey. Hasta la vista, baby. Because it happened before. And if he went through trouble, he would never have done it again. But someone stood by him and let's do it again. He walked before. And he walked again. Is that God approving horrible things? No. When your neighbor is chasing your child with a stick, you don't want to know what your child did. You will rescue your child first. Settle the neighbor aggressively. Maybe after that, you will now ask your child, what was that all about? But it will be horrible for you to stand there and they hurt your kid in front of you. And you say, well, I don't know. No, we need to ask you if you're okay. Come on. Do we know who God is? And he told Abraham, I will bless anybody who blesses you. I will hurt anybody that hurts you. Abraham understood something. They can't touch me. Isaac sold in the land. He reaped a hundredfold. So we've applied many things into it. But the man was fine when nobody found water. Something was working for him. He got a woman supernaturally. Something was working for him. Jacob entered Laban's house. Laban began to prosper. Something was working for him. Oh, but I love Joseph. I'm waiting to get to Joseph. His daddy gave him coat of many colors. His brothers took the coat. You can take this one, but there's one you cannot collect. That's why I said, what are you wearing? He was wearing something nobody could take. Then he entered Egypt. That thing he wore was showing up. Showed up in Potiphar's house. Mrs. Potiphar fell in love with him. He was already wearing another cloth there. Then she grabbed the cloth. He removed it. She took cloth again. Joseph said, I've been here before. My brothers took my cloth. Now it's your turn. I'm wearing something you people cannot see. He ends up in prison. The thing begins to show up again. Till he gets to Potiphar's house. What are you wearing? So when you step out of your day, is it all about your shoe and your tie and your headgear and then your purse? Is it all about that or no? He that is baptized into Christ has put on Christ. I'm not naked. I'm clothed. I wear something no man can see. But you're going to see the effect. Because you wear the blessing. Oh, this is amazing. So in Christ, because Ephesians 1:3 now says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He's not about to. He's not thinking of it. He has. He has. God has. You have to fight the fight of faith from the standpoint of, this is what he has done for me. You have to. But they cursed me. Nobody can curse a blessed man. The only person that can successfully curse a blessed man is someone that has more authority than the person who blessed him. I repeat, the only one who can successfully curse a blessed man has to be someone who is more powerful than the person that blessed him. And the only other person that can undo the blessing is that person, through fear and ignorance. And that's been where the church has faltered. Nobody. The only person that can reverse what God gave you has to be bigger than God. Has to be bigger than God. Has to be bigger than God. Oh, we got to know who we are. We've got to know who we are. We've got to know what we have. We've got to know what we carry. We're not ordinary people. So it has to be a year of revelation in the midst of everything else we might be doing. Are you still here? I've got to know. I've got to know, this is what I have. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is who I am. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, popular verse 8 says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Deep things of God. And now God say, what man knows things of a man except spirit of man that is in him? Even so, he thinks of God, knows about the spirit of God. That verse is loaded. Let's leave it. Verse 12. We have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is from God. So that, understand the intent here, so that we may know the things graciously given to us by God. Meaning the presence of the Holy Ghost begets knowledge, and the knowledge leads you to victory. Please understand this. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know. It means the reason why I have the Holy Ghost is for me to know something. What am I to know? The things freely given to me of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Huh? The things freely given to me of God. What are the things freely given? The blessing. The Holy Spirit. Now, once you have the Holy Ghost, the truth is eternal life, the anointing, they're all together with and together in the Holy Spirit. So anybody who has the Holy Ghost is not, you're not alone. If this is January 2021, and this is December 2021, somebody knows that journey. He knows the ins and outs, the ups and downs. He knows it. The smartest thing is hitch a ride with him. I'll get there in good time and in one piece. Now, I'm now not hitching a ride with him. Bible says, don't you know you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God lives in you. Ah, dear Lord, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. Dear Lord, how many a times the church of Jesus are not sure of the presence of God. Listen, the believer does not come in and out of God's presence. Why then did the curtain tear? You think the curtain tore? So the curtain of the temple, now it tore so that anytime I want to go, I can go. And I visit him, then I come out, then later again, I will go. No. The day you got born again, before that, listen,
I'll use human understanding. You were cooked in the presence of God. When Jesus resurrected, you know, he entered into that presence. And Bible says he sat down. So we see him do that for us. Then Paul teaches us identification and makes us understand that we were there. So when he entered the presence and sat down, you sat down. So as far as God is concerned, you are always in the presence of God. So if you are not sure, again, he now says the Spirit of God lives inside you. So if I want to look for the presence, you know, we've thought, and I've said it too before, you know, Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang, and then God just packed his bag and said, yay, these people are praising me, worry me, worry me, worry me, way. You know, and then God just rushed down, took a night bus from heaven. And by the time he hit the place, the whole place, ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga, earthquake! But I have a rethink on my understanding. I don't think God came, or anybody sent anything. Paul said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know that inside you is resurrection power. I think the man released something. Because when Jesus resurrected, there was earthquake. Paul released something. And then he shut it down. He said, we are not escaping. We are not going anywhere. Because resident inside us is resurrection power. So that's why, forgive me, but that's why when we're busy singing, I know it's a good song. I know it's I've sang it too, I've danced it. Demons tremble at your presence. What a mighty God. Forgive me. I'm not sure that song moves anything. Because demons trembling in the presence of God doesn't do anything. So I've entered that in again. I have to explain this one. I can't run away from this one. James chapter 2. James 2, are we? Where are we? Okay, I found James. Chapter 2. Verse what now? 8? 9? No. 14. Are you there? It's 14, isn't it? Aha, they have caught you today. Okay, no, I found it. All right. 18. James 2, 18. Watch this. Follow context. But someone will say, what's the person saying? You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my, meaning my faith doesn't just have mouth, it has action. So if you keep talking your faith, I'll be busy showing my faith. Faith is demonstrative. Alright? Faith has corresponding action. The context here is faith without works is dead. Are we agreeing on that? All right. So verse 19 says, you believe there is one God, you do well. Even demons believe and what? You believe there is God, you've done well. Demons too. Meaning believing in God doesn't solve it. Demons also believe. All they do is tremble. Look at the next verse. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is what? That means demons trembling in his presence is faith without works. Because faith needs to have corresponding action. So if you believe there is God, if demons believe there is God, the next thing they should do is submit and surrender. Corresponding action. Believing and trembling is not the corresponding action. So they believe there's God, all they do. Tremble. He says his faith without works. Silence. I got you. But follow context. What's the context? Faith without works is dead. And he pushes in there, even demons believe and tremble. So context, faith without works is dead. So then believing and trembling is faith without works. So it's not a song. And what will even thrill God is not demons trembling at his presence, is when they tremble at your presence. Because Jesus didn't die for nothing. He didn't die so that he's still his name. He isn't to be shouting and cutting birthday cake.
Say J, say E, say S, U, A. Oh yeah! Shut it out, yeah. Do it again. The name is more important than that. More important than that. And he doesn't need his name. He went through everything he went through. God highly exalted him and gave him a name. To do what? He's sitting in heaven. He doesn't need his own name. So he got the name to give somebody to do something. You are thinking, demons tremble at your presence. He's saying, that's not a song. It's when they tremble at your presence, I say, well done. I see my power working. I see the effect of my work. Do you understand now? Because, listen, I like songs. If you know me, you know I like music. There are songs I listen to, I just can't sing. Me, I can't sing them. I can put them on repeat, though. That's the bad part. You even see me do it. You say, what's that? Don't worry. Don't bother. You know, some people almost fought with me one time when I said, I don't like, there's this, no, I don't like, I like the song, but I really can't sing some parts, you know. If the sky was made to worship, so we lie. I said, no. He said, what's wrong again? Because I am not to look at them and take a cue on how to worship God. They are looking at you, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. I won't look at them and say, oh, they were made to worship. So we like. The whole of creation has never seen the new creation before. You are the masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10. Created God's own handiwork. Even angels are peering to see the reality of salvation. And we're busy saying, oh, if the angel, they act. I won't sing it. Oh, but you called, but it's in the Bible. It says, you know, when I look at the heavens and the stars and everything you made, I will now say, what is man? That's the point. He looked at them. He now ended by saying, what is man? Meaning the man is the more important thing. So you don't look at them and say, wow. You look at them and say, as beautiful as you all are. God now focuses on man. There's something in man. Thank God for great songs. We love them. But they are all products of someone's revelation. It's not Bible. So now don't turn them into, we must sing it. Everyone will react if we don't sing. No. No. I don't sing every song. I listen. I listen again. I listen. Even things like, I might sing one this morning and this at night, I say I'm not singing again. Yeah, even something I teach now, tomorrow I could say, I didn't say that part well. We grow. But this is, I'm endeavoring to protect my identity. Because there's a fight there. You don't toy with your identity. Oh, you don't toy with your identity. I remember back then when I stopped singing, I want to be where you are. Dwelling in, no, I'd rather say, I'm glad to be where you are. Dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory in your presence. That's where I'm glad I always am, or whatever I want to sing. I'm so glad to be. I don't think I want to be. I can't want to be. I'm not supposed to want to be. I am there. Because the more I want to be, the more I'll be wanting to be where I already am. So my confession will be trying to create what has already been created, whereas my confession is an affirmation. I'm not trying to say what he's not said. He said, so I say. Are you glad you're here? Yeah, online, yeah, physically. Ah, tell her. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because, listen, this year, get into, I mean, Kenny Hagin has his little book in him. Get it if you can. Go to Mark Hankin's website, listen to, just build reality. This is who I am. Because now that you are in Christ, you have changed location. Hallelujah. If any man be in, you know, Jesus was both on the physical realm and spiritual at the same time. So are you. Because the way Jesus was first divine, then he became natural. You were first natural, then you became divine. If you understand that, he was a word that became flesh. You are flesh that now received the word. The same substance that gave birth to Jesus gave birth to you, your new spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word. The same word that produces us produces a new creature. That means I think like him. So Peter, at the Mount of Transfiguration, said, wow, oh dear Lord, if we could only build three booths here, and see Jesus, you're just glowing. John speaks and says, as he is, so are we. That means all of that glow, you carry it. Paul says, are you sure? 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass, the glory of God. When you look into a glass, you see yourself. So when I look into a glass, I see the glory of God. It means I'm that glory. I said, no, it can't be. John chapter 1, John 3 says, we do not know what we will look like. But we know that when we see him, we'll look like him. That means the way he looked on that mountain, I look like that. I said, but why don't we see? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So if you keep looking at the outward, you'll be defeated. You focus on the realities of the inward man, what God has put inside you. Our focus has to be Christ. Not that Paul told the Corinthian church, I have come to know nothing amongst you except Christ and him crucified. Because Christ is now your location. Christ is your identity. Christ is your definer. That's your definition. The only way to describe yourself has to be outside of him. You know, you say, I want to find myself. You can't find yourself outside what God has said about you. That's why many believers keep getting missing. They are trying to find. You can't, you know, this speaker is saying, I want to find myself. We say, we put you here to talk. You say, no, I want to find myself. I need to go to self-help to go and discover my true potential. So, speaker. Yeah, so the only person that can tell you is him. You can't find yourself outside of him. And because you don't know who we are, believers are too afraid of village people. Question is, which village? Because me too, I have village people. Yes, now I've come to Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. Where is Jesus? Where there's God, where there are innumerable company of angels, where we have the spirit of just men made perfect. I have village people. My own village people are running after me to do me good. I have village people. I have a village. I've come from the heavenly Jerusalem. I have village people. So better change village. Do you understand? It's because our life is TV, social media, is what we see there influences us. What would they do? That's not your life. It's not your life. Oh, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. With the life and the image of God inside of you. Born for victory all the time. Do you know, for the believer, really, we shouldn't even be praying for direction. There's a context in him leading you. But then he said you are light. That means your union with him produces influence, direction, ceaselessly. Because we move into this state of, I don't want to miss it. Why you think? And I understand that because I've been there a number of times. But then you calm yourself down and says, when the spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That means inside me, there's direction. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. So inside me, Paul writing to the Thessalonian church says, I am a child of light. If my father is light and I'm a child of light, it means I should see. So if I don't see, it's me. It's not him. I'm saying let's spend more time knowing who we are and affirming who we are. If there's a song that doesn't go, don't sing it. And you don't owe anybody apology. There are some, if I mention them now, some of you here will fight me. I just can't sing them. Maybe I don't understand them yet. So it's okay. But they are good songs. Some I've played, though, played 5-10 times. After I just say it's enough. Then some I just enjoy the rhythm. You know some of these songs, the way they use the instruments and everything, the whole You know, one of our worship leaders sent me a song, you know, and it had to do with being, you know, broken. If I mention the title, some of them know it, the fans will start haunting me. I said, sorry, forgive me. I don't preach brokenness. He's a stubborn person you break. The word brokenness, to break, is used for horses. When you bring in a horse and it's a troublesome horse, you break that horse. You starve it for 3-5 days. The horse now turns to dummy. You don't say, come. Because you've broken the will when you see a wild horse. So Psalm 32, verse 8, says, I will instruct you. I will lead you in the way you should go. I will direct your path. Verse 9, do not be like a donkey, a horse. So those are the ones that God might need to be clipping. But me, he doesn't have to break me. As many as I led. So I'm careful with terminologies. Now, but if you are strong head, that might happen. Go now, clip your pound. This way you're going. But on the other hand, really, which I need to quickly say, putting the flesh under is like a level of I'm breaking, but it's not God breaking you, it's you putting your own flesh. So maybe you are breaking the flesh, if that's the language, you and God, because the Bible says if you through the spirit you mortify the deeds of your body. But it's not God saying, No, as many as are led. As many as are led. As many as are led. Oh, glory to God. You're glad you came? All right. A few more minutes, I'll be out of your face. Hope that's fine. Glory to God. So please, so you have village people. Just a good village. Very good. All they do is just bless us. Glory to God. Ever had to scroll through your notes and you're really not seeing anything? They're like, did you see anything? No, you have to scroll slowly. Oh, glory to God. Oh, we're blessed. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Somebody say, Christ is my location. Christ is my identity. Christ is my life. He is my life. He is my life. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The believer's location is in Him. People say, Ephesians 1 says we're blessed. But Ephesians 6 also now says that principalities and powers in heavenly places. So those principalities and powers, they are in heavenly places, and your blessings are in heavenly places. So that's why they are blocking the blessing from coming to where you are. Ah, Ekari. Why are you doing that to people? Listen. In Ephesians 1, we're clear about the heavenly places, or heavenly realms, or heavenlies. Ephesians 2 says we're made to sit together with Him there. Heavenlies. But Ephesians 1 says it is far above. So no matter how heavenly, the demons become heavenly. It is not the heavenly of this heavenly that is heavenly. Hope you understand my heavenly language. So how do you therefore make someone feel? No, you are the one seated where your blessing is. Far above all principality and power. Oh dear Lord, who's blessed in this place? You have to know who you are. You have to understand who you are. Now someone says, well, you say I shouldn't pray for direction. Let me clear that. Please. Just the same way some months back, I thought on Christ with ready present. In fact, many times you would realize that having prayed for a while, you came back to the thing you thought was an idea when you started praying. Anybody been there? Because the thing was saying present, ma. Present, sir. I'm here. But it's always the mind, the renewal of the mind. So even if I don't pray or fast and I'm just meditating on scripture, I am clearing the debris so that the thing covered can find more expression. Did that help somebody? Because the word of God is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word will clear the thing. And then it shows and says, I am here. And let me say this, under being led by the Spirit, when God speaks to you and you start doubting it, you will doubt it. Why? You doubted it. So God says, you're going to go left. Oh, gospel, 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 I'm going left. 3 minutes later, am I sure it was really God? And that thing just comes upon you. You stop being sure. I'm sure you've been there. You say, but I'm not sure again, because you opened the door to a second opinion. It's like God telling Samuel, anoint Saul. Samuel says, are you sure it's Saul? God, are we sure? Must it be Saul? God spoke. There's no number two. So many times when God speaks, listen, there's a time for plan B. There's a time for no plan B. Because he spoke. I said, so what are we going to do? Nothing. That's it. No plan B, because I know what I heard. That is it. There wasn't supposed to be a plan B. The moment you start nursing the plan B, it might start becoming plan A. Maybe that wasn't for everybody, but whoever needed it picked it. Be careful when he speaks and you know he spoke. Still what he tells you. Because the journey is sweeter with the Holy Ghost. The believer is never disadvantaged. You're in Christ. Some of us swim here, right? I know some of us just put our legs in the water. All right, but some of us swim. Okay, you swim, butterfly stroke and back stroke and stomach stroke and all right, nothing like that. But you swim. So the guy swimming is in the water. The guy who drowned, the water is in him. Yeah? It's clear. You got the revelation there. The guy who swims is inside water. The guy who drowned, water entered him. He's in a critical condition. He needs CPR or something worse, right? So I am in Christ. Now Christ is in me. I'm not just swimming. I've been submerged. Please understand that. I need to close. I'm not swimming. I've submerged. Because when you drown, you're both still in the water, but now the water has taken over you. When the believer is full of the consciousness of Christ, it's not just, oh, no. Paul said this mystery, they kept it. Now they've unveiled it. It has turned to sticker. It has turned to cliche, slogan. Christ in you, over glory, I will know. You know, that it's just slang. Paul said they hid it. Moses didn't get it. Elisha, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they didn't grab it. He said they kept it. That there will come a time. Oh, that the fullness of the Godhead bodily will dwell in him. And then he, with the fullness of the Godhead, will now reside in you. That means in you is the fullness of divinity. Then sickness says, I'll take you down. Where? How? Sickness says, I'll shut down your lungs. Which one? The one filled with Christ? He says, I'll give you cancer. Where? If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me. So I'm not just aware of the fact that I am in him. He is in me. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in this flesh, I live. Not by my faith. No, by the faith of thee, Son of God. Whatever his faith can do is what I now can do, because it's not my faith. No, I'm struggling by faith. My faith is small. My faith is being. It's not my faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. So where I stand, I don't stand like I stand. I stand like Christ is standing, because Christ lives in me. I have him. I'm in him, but he is in me. So I am dead. hidden. You can't find me. If they say, oh, something has to hit everybody and my own cannot be there. Because I'm hidden together with him, in him. I'm away from the thing. I'm somewhere else. So it will happen like I wasn't there because I really wasn't there. You saw me, but I wasn't there. Because I'm hidden, inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. I'm kept because I am in Christ. Then Christ is me. John called him the greater one. He says, you have God, little children. But he didn't say you will overcome them. He said you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you. It means no matter what it is I'm facing, I am not about to overcome. Before the problem showed up, I overcame it. I passed the exam before I picked the pen. So I'm only picking the pen to fulfill righteousness. I just picked the pen to say I was in class, but I passed. I'm not trying to be qualified, to be blessed. Blessed be the God and Father who blessed me. Giving thanks unto the one who qualified me to be a partaker. So I don't need to qualify. I'm not trying to qualify. I have qualified. I'm in Christ. But Christ is in me. So I'm not swimming. I'm submerged. I'm in him. My identity, my perspective, my reality, my life, my thoughts, my everything, Christ. That has to be the study of the church. I want to know nothing amongst you except Christ. And him crucified. Christ. Paul says you are in him. You are in him. He says even though I know how to abase and abound because I can do all things. It's through Christ. He says my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. So Christ is the definition. Even to fulfill purpose in life. Paul says one thing I do. Forgetting the things behind, I'm pressing toward the mark of the upward goal of God in Christ. So Christ is my destiny, my destination, my end. So my life is Christ. So what sickness can live in me? Christ lives in me. What confusion can reside in me? Christ lives in me. I'm no. You can say, but I'm human. No, I am also human. I'm not just human because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. I was born by my parents, so that gave me flesh, but now I've been born of the Spirit. So I'm not flesh. I have flesh. I'm not flesh. I'm not. That's why Paul said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Because we are not just flesh and blood. We have flesh and blood. But we have something not flesh and blood. So I have it, but I'm not it. Christ is in me. I gotta close. That's close. Glory to God. Glory to God. You could download the message, I'm sure, maybe in a few minutes, or it'll be on the website. All right, just download it. Download it. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm submerged. I'm full. Hey! Hey, you can boldly say diseases and germs and viruses, when they touch me, they die. I don't contract and I don't transmit. Some say, but if I don't contract, I can't transmit. No, sometimes you don't even know when you contract it. They call it asymptomatic. Abi. So I don't contract. I don't transmit. The woman with the issue of blood, she touched Jesus. By law, Jesus was to become unclean. But by life, the woman got healed. So, which one are you? So, they touch me. Something happened to me. You, where, when, how? You. But it's not impossible. It's happening everywhere. Believers are dropping, are being affected by stuff. But Paul said, if so, be it that you've been risen together with him. Set your affection and your mind on things above. Look from that perspective. If you stay on the earth, there's depression, there's sickness, there's everything. Listen, when we experience depression, it's because we're more conscious of our soul than we were of our spirits. When we are broken down by sickness, we're working more in the body than we are in the spirit. Because in your spirit, there's no depression. In your spirit, there's no fear. In your spirit, there's no sickness. Your spirit can be sick. There's no hatred inside your spirit. So the life of the believer is to walk inside out. We function from the life
within and influence our environment by... Solomon says, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it will flow. That means what is inside affects the outside. We are trying to pad up the outside. You want to look rich and feel rich and act okay. No. If I wear bathroom slippers today, raggedy shirt, torn trousers, but something is working in me, it will come out. No one has said meditate on these things. Give yourself completely to them so that your profiting will appear. But believers are not trying to meditate. We just want to put up a show. Look good, smile good, smile good, smell good. No. If you have all that, nothing's happening inside, you're empty inside. Oh, but what are you wearing? I'm fully submerged. Woo! Oh, dear Lord. Okay, so we said 7:07. Someone said, you on time. You all finish on time. Because we said 7. I'm hoping there might be February. So if we say February is in 2 weeks' time, would you come? 2 weeks, so 1, 2, 3. Or if we say 3, because there's one wind that is blowing. And it's blowing stronger and faster. So, but okay, maybe we could do 2. If all things are possible. But please, you signed up, so you get an email. And those of you online, just follow on every social media platform. And oh, dear Lord. Okay, so I'm supposed to talk about partnership. If you'd like to partner, I mean, this is a global ministry, all right? God is taking us to nations, and we're blessing people even now. People are streaming for different places. So please, there's a stand out there if you want to partner. If you want to give, I'm sure they'll put the details up before we go, and online, you'll see the details showing on your screen. I just want to borrow 5 minutes. Let me do an announcement. I'm going to borrow 5 minutes. So details on screen. But please visit our website, all right? www.lionrexcellencia.com. It has partnership details, giving details, and then follow on all social media platforms. And since you registered, you get emails from us. I think I've done all the announcements. I'm supposed to. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Pray in other tongues. Thank you, Lord. 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 Pray in tongues. Keep your eyes on me. Please allow me to give you an illustration. John 4, Jesus told the woman, if you drink this water, it will be in you a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Well is for domestic use. All right? Time is up. I'm just borrowing extra time. All right? I'm telling people watching. Then John 7, he said, out of your belly will flow rivers. One, he said, well. The other, he said, river. The well is for domestic use. Well, around the house, river, cities and villages and possibly nations. And Ezekiel 47 and Revelation 22 say that the trees beside that river would always produce fruit every month. But watch this. That well is not a well, it's a fountain. That is, some other translations use the word fountain, not well. So it's a fountain. In a well, you go and draw water. A fountain does not have control. That means resident in every believer is a 24/7 self-generating power. If a believer runs into a car and explodes, inside that person, with the explosion that happened, was self-generating resurrection power. Inside the believer. So the thing is bubbling. Out of your belly, all right, will flow 7, but this one says well. So it's flowing, it's bubbling. If you can picture, is a spring, is coming out, but when it lands, it begins to flow. Then because it's consistently bubbling, it consistently flows. Then it widens and it deepens and it widens. Then it becomes the river. So it was the well in John 4 that became a river in John 7. Because Ezekiel and Revelation put the picture together that it was coming from the throne of God. So you say, where's the throne of God? It's heaven. God says, no, you are my temple. So I now live in you.
So in you is a generating power. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of him, according to the... Is there. That's where the throne is. So there's nothing we face that within cannot overcome. We need to let God loose in our generation. If you understand that language, it's within. Pray in tongues.